be back here with you. So let's talk about coming from love even when we don't want to. I was glad to hear the laughter, because really, this is really what it's all about. We don't always do what we want to do, but we do what we know is the right thing to do. So what does it mean to come from love? I'll share what I believe first, and then we'll dig into some wisdom from some names that you already recognize. Thich Nhat Hanh, Jesus, the Buddha, a few people with a little more experience than I have. So I believe we come from love, and we can choose to live in love or not. And when we are finished with these bodies that we slipped into when we arrived here, we can slip back out of those bodies and we return to love. So that's my belief, and that's what I live with. There are other beliefs, but that's what we're going to talk about today. So if we come from love, and love is spirit, spiritual energy, the simple part is that we come from love, spirit is love, then what else can we be? What can anything be but love? Well, we know a whole lot of people who don't seem to understand that they come from love. They cross our paths every day. Even when we do know that we come from love, it's hard to stay in that space of loving whatever comes our way. Touching that loving energy, being in touch with it all the time. Humans don't act loving often, or speak lovingly, or appear to live from a place of love, or a place that embodies love, or even resembles love. We know that in this world, and I'm not just talking about today, but I'm talking about in the history of this world, there have been a lot of times when it was hard to find love at the center of what was happening. So how can it be that we come from love and yet we don't seem to embrace it easily? We can be hateful and hurtful and apathetic towards one another and ourselves. And sometimes the people I'm speaking of are we or me. And that's where my second belief falls into place. We can choose to live in love. We choose it every day, all the time. Or we don't. No matter what happens to us, we can make a choice to be loving or unloving. Every day, all day long, every day of our lives. That's how we can understand ourselves and others through the lens of love, when we realize that it's a choice that we get to make. But how do we live with those who choose to be unloving? That's where the rub comes in. It's wonderful to be with a group of people like this, because we're all coming from a place of love when we walk in the doors. At least I'm pretty sure we all are. That's what we're striving for anyway. But what do we do when we aren't with people like us? Sometimes it helps to be able to name what we're dealing with. At least I like to do that. And I think David was also saying that he wanted to be able to name what it is that he's dealing with. So if we're loving people and we have to deal with unloving behavior, what do we call that behavior? Well, I decided to ask the all-knowing Google. And here are the most common answers that we find. And you've heard them often. The opposite of love is hate. Oh, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference or apathy. Okay, so we don't all agree on what the opposite of love is, but we certainly know it when we experience it, don't we? It might look like anger, stinginess, violence, even war, and a whole lot of other things. When I face such behavior, fear becomes my driver. My self-confidence exits stage right, and there is my psyche, naked and afraid. My thoughts are filled with doubt. If I'm not careful, fear is in control. And I ask myself, what did I do wrong? Why am I not lovable? How can I fix this? Do I need to change something? And if I act on these questions, I try to protect myself by responding with equal amounts of venom, I will fail in so many ways. I know this from experience. You see, I'm a good fighter. I can argue with the best of them. I can even win sometimes, but I will never, ever feel that winning is worth it. I know it isn't really a resolution. Another way I can respond is to act as if it doesn't matter to me, to withdraw. And that's the apathy approach. Having no feeling for the other person or simply ignoring the situation is another option. And sometimes when fear is too scary, or I know I can't ever fix it, whatever it is, I become detached from the situation. And I do that to protect myself. I say things like, it's okay, it doesn't matter. Deep down, it matters so much that it is overwhelming. And I just pretend it's not there. Do you ever do that? Mm-hmm. So what does that do for the problem? Nothing. The problem still exists. It doesn't go away. So now I'm back to loving, even when I don't feel like it, because none of those other answers work very well. Because here's the thing about acting from love. It rewards us in ways we can't even imagine when we begin. Have you ever reached out to someone in love and been rebuffed? Or have you experienced your kindness being mistaken for weakness? Or even worse, someone thinks you're clueless as to their intentionally unloving behavior. And maybe you have. I know I have. But we know the truth when our intentions are good, and it makes it easier to stand strong. Sometimes responding with love surprises the angry person, and they are taken aback. Have you ever had that happen? They're so surprised that you don't get angry with them. You might even see them take a step back and look puzzled. Cooling things off by reacting from a place of love might take the other person off guard so much that they have to stop and take a breath and think. Well, that breath that they take and the one that you take is very important. It may be just the opportunity you need to shine some light into a dark place. Sometimes that dark place is inside us, as well as the other person. You might begin to see things from a different angle, or the other person might. Introducing loving energy into an explosive situation calms you. And when your energy shifts, the energy in the room will shift. So I leave you on the precipice of not knowing how this interaction will turn out, because the whole scenario was simply preparation for us to think about four things, four questions that I'm going to talk about. What does it mean to come from love is the first one. The second one is, why would you come from love? It's pretty challenging. And the third one is, how will it change the world if you come from love in this one instance? And the fourth is, knowing all of this, when we get to the end of it, now what are you going to do about it? So what does it mean to love? From Buddhism, we learn, and this is a quote, loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, and a particular form of equanimity are the four kinds of love taught in classical Buddhist teachings. And none of these are uniquely Buddhist. They are four qualities of heart that reside within everyone, at least as potentials. That's the end of the quote. And oh, I love that last phrase, at least as potentials. We all have the ability to develop potential. We have to work at it. We have to practice it and then employ it. In other words, you gotta wanna to make it happen. But Buddhism is not the only place we can learn about love. We know that. In 1 Corinthians 13, we're so familiar with love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It rejoices with the truth. Now, I don't want to pick a fight with the Bible, but if we eliminate the negatives in those verses, and there was a whole lot of what love is not, right? So if we just look at the positive statements that were made, we end up with love is patient and kind and rejoices in the truth. It's that simple. I want to point out there are no modifiers. Love is patient and kind, period. Even when the other person is behaving in a hateful or threatening way, there are no exceptions to this one. If we're coming from love, patience wrapped in kindness is the beginning and the end. And in the middle of the muddle, we will look for and rejoice when we find the truth. To me, that means we who come from love are called to be patient with ourselves and with others, to be seekers of the truth in all things, even when it's inconvenient. From Thich Nhat Hanh, we learn about loving kindness. In his words, quote, "The first element of true love is loving kindness. The essence of loving kindness is being able to offer happiness. You can be the sunshine for another person. You can't offer happiness until you have it for yourself. So build a home inside by accepting yourself and learning to love and heal yourself. Learn how to practice mindfulness in such ways that you can create moments of happiness and joy for your own nourishment, and then you have something to offer the other person." That was all Thich Nhat's quote. And I love the fact that we can give someone happiness, but only if we have it for ourselves. So from Buddhism, we understand that kindness, compassion, and appreciative joy, and a certain kind of equanimity are all potentials in each of us. And when we couple that with Christianity's understanding that love is patient and kind and seeks the truth, we begin to get a rich picture of love. And then Thich Nhat Hanh enlightens the conversation with the fact that we need to have happiness within before we can share it with anyone else. And we can do all of that by practicing mindfulness. Now, we don't just have a plateful here. We have an entire meal to nourish our souls and our relationships with everyone whose paths we cross. But given all those definitions and examples of love, I ask you, why would you even try to come from love in every situation? It sounds so hard. It's a lot of work, and we have to pay attention all the time. So what's in it for you? And what's in it for me? You know that old whiffum. Well, I like to call it the whiffy. What's in it for you? What's in it to respond from love instead of responding from a position of power or control? Well, the whole process begins with loving yourself just as you are. Allow yourself a place at the table of real goodness and love. By loving yourself, you'll begin to create that energy of love. How great would it feel to love yourself, to simply be love? There are other things you can be at the same time. You can be productive. You can be trustworthy and creative. You can be inquisitive and honest. You can be everything you already are. And with a continual dose of love to spare, there isn't anything you can't do. And no, it's not easy, but I promise you, you will always receive a return on your investment because you will learn to love yourself. Think about how it feels to mail off that check to UNICEF or whoever you want to donate to, or to stand at the Capitol to support some issue that you really believe will help change someone else's life for the better. That's a loving action. Those are the ways we live and love. You don't know exactly who your donation will go to or who it will help, but you know that you are sending some loving kindness, and in some way your offering will help bend the arc of the world toward truth and love. The love we offer others really does begin within us and is about us. If we can't love ourselves, we can't love others. I know, it can be really hard to love yourself, but that is the real challenge. We think the challenge is to love other people, but if we really love ourselves, loving others is no problem at all. I'm talking about loving yourself enough that even when you do bad things, you can still love yourself enough to admit your mistakes, apologize when appropriate, and even to yourself you can say, I'm sorry, I know I can do better than that, and then go do better than that. Really loving ourselves gives us the go juice to be able to love for no reason at all the time. How crazy would that be? It's actually a practice. And that means we don't have to measure what we offer, the love that we offer. There are real gifts for the person we reach out to in love, and gifts for ourselves. Sometimes we hear firsthand what our love has done for someone else when someone comes and thanks us. The rest of the time, we send our love out into the world and then we let it go. There's always more. Those are the rewards we won't be able to measure. And because we come from love, there is always more for us to share. In the New International Bible, there's a newly worded phrase added to the familiar, love is patient, love is kind, and so forth. The new line is, love keeps no record of wrongs. That's right. We don't need to remember every time we feel wronged. There isn't any checklist. We don't need to keep score. We just need to practice loving so often that we can't imagine needing to hurt anyone or anything. You might be thinking, that's an awful lot to expect of a human being. Well, true enough. But we're not only human, we're also divine. Our spirits, our souls, our loving energy. And it is our human nature that gets in the way of our being in divine loving synchronicity. We've talked about that 2 or 3 times already in this service. We've sung about it. Our egos niggle us with all that we do wrong, all of our feeling of less than. It drives our fear factor up, and it reminds us of anything bad that ever happened in our lives. And it tells us to protect ourselves by being afraid. If we focus on our divinity and leave our egos at the door, we will find love is overflowing. That sounds like a very good reason to come from love as often as we possibly can. Remember that phrase, the 4 qualities of love that reside in everyone, at least as potentials? Well, that's where and why we begin the practice of coming from love, because we have the potential to get there. We'll fail along the way. We'll fail miserably. But when we practice and we succeed, what we get back in the loving energy that surrounds us is really unquantifiable. So now the 3rd question. How will our loving actions change the world in this instance? Do you ever know how your actions will affect the world in any one particular instant? I don't know. We just don't know. Sometimes they change us. We learn to see things a little differently, or we learn something about another person that helps us understand where they're coming from, why they act the way they do. Instead of believing we are right and pushing harder and harder on that notion, we might learn to love, to listen lovingly to what they say. And sometimes just being listened to can change a person's day or even their life. My husband and I were in downtown Lansing one Saturday morning, shortly after we moved to the area 4 or 5 years ago. We hadn't counted on the parking meters needing to be fed quite so many quarters. But we gathered all of our quarters together, and we had enough to fill the meter. That would be 2 hours. Just as we finished, a man came up to us asking if we had any spare change that we could give him. And I was surprised because my husband, who doesn't usually respond to people he doesn't know and isn't even all that good with the people he does know, gave him everything he had in his pocket. And almost 2 hours later, after shopping, we returned to put more money in the meter so that we could go have lunch in a restaurant. And we were checking Susan's purse, and we were checking Michael's pockets, and we looked in the car, and of course, he'd already given it all away. And we were back standing at the meter trying to figure out if there was a credit card that we could use. And the man we had given the money to inserted himself between us, reached out, and put quarters in the meter. What he said was, "You helped me earlier, And I'd like to help you now. This didn't happen when I was practicing. But it did happen at the time. Did I mention that light might shine a dark spot and reveal something new to you? We never know how we will change the world with one loving word or action. We thought we were doing something good. I wonder if that man knows the impact he had with his loving kindness on us in that instant. So our last question is, now what? Now that we've talked about these things, now what are you going to do with them? Elie Wiesel said, if we choose indifference, we're choosing the opposite of love. Elie Wiesel knew a lot about loss and pain and heartache, and still he chose to spend his life coming from a place of love and forgiveness. So I ask, what can you do with this information? And I gently suggest that you practice mindfulness. Be aware of your words and actions. As often as you act, ask yourself, is this coming from a place of love? And if not, is there a way you can redirect your energy? A few weeks ago, Beth Monteith reminded you, take charge of your thoughts, and they will take charge of your life. We can embrace whatever your day is with the love of the universe, the love from which we come and to which we return. This is the love we can choose to live in every day. In closing, I'd like to share parts of a reading from the Buddhist teaching on love written by Gil Fronsdahl. To be free only when things are pleasant is not real liberation. Similarly, to love only in optimal conditions is not real love. It can be easy to love all beings in the abstract, but it can be a great challenge to do so when we have to live with them. It is this one thing to love and another to express that love in daily life. One of the most rewarding spiritual practices is to cultivate the ability to bring into all aspects of our life and to all people we encounter. This entails learning how to include love's presence while we speak to others. We are in conflict with others, and we are living with others. While this can be a daunting task, it begins with having the intention to do so, mindfulness. And it is supported by appreciating each manifestation of love that we encounter. Even practicing loving kindness for the time it takes to snap the fingers is beneficial. Each drop of practice is significant, and as the Buddha said, with dripping drops of water, the water jug is filled. And that's the end of the quote. Coming from love, even when we don't want to, is good for us, all of us. It sends loving energy into the world, and we can certainly use more of that, can't we? So I was supposed to do a meditation before I started, but I would like to do it now, because I think after we've talked about it, it might be easier to reflect. If you'll close your eyes, and put your feet flat on the floor if that's comfortable for you. You might even hold your hands out and take a deep breath in and a deep breath out through the mouth. And one more deep breath in and out. And so as we begin to come into ourselves, we take a moment to reflect on that small light within. And as we feel that light and see that light, we feel the light begin to shine, and that light is our love. And our love can begin to fill the entire space of our body, and that bright light begins to warm us as we reach out with our love. And now the light fills not just us, but the people next to us, in front of us and behind us. And we begin to feel the warmth and energy of the love from those who are in this room. And And that love fills this entire room. The heat and the light of love. The loving energy that we come from, that we live in, and that we can return to. And I'd like you to take just a moment to think quietly about someone or something that you know you can do better with. Holding on to that thought, I ask you to be intentional when you leave and to go out and do better. Breathing in, breathing out. Let that light continue to shine. It doesn't have to be small. It can be just as large as your outreach into the world. And I ask you now to bring yourself back into this space, into this experience, and join us again as we continue with the service.